The ninth trip, or Yesod. Walpurgis Nacht Rock.
Sync is played by Discordians and people of much ilk. Purpose? To sync object or an object or a thing in water or mud or anything you can sync something in. Rules. Sinking is allowed in any manner. To date, 10-pound chunks of mud have been used to sink a tobacco can. It is preferable to have a pit of water or a hole to drop things into, but rivers, bays, gulfs, I dare say even oceans can be used. Turns are taken thusly. Whosoever gets the junk up and in the air first. Duty. It shall be the duty of all persons playing sink to help find more objects to sink once one object is sunk. Upon sinking, the sinker shall yell, "I sank it," or something equally as thoughtful. Naming of objects is sometimes desirable. The object is named by the finder of such object, and whosoever sinks it can say, for instance, "I sank Columbus, Ohio." Alahera, E.L., N.S., Rayville Apple Panthers, quoted in Principia Discordia by Malaclips the Younger, K.S.C.
For over a week, the musicians had been boarding planes and heading for Ingolstadt. As early as April 23rd, while Simon and Mary Lou listened to Clark Kent and his Superman, and George Dorn wrote about the sound of one eye opening, the Filet of Soul, finding booking sparse in London, drove into Ingolstadt in a Volvo painted 17 day glow colors and flaunting Ken Kesey's old slogan, "Further." On April 24th, a real trickle began, and while Harry Coyne looked into Hagbard Chalene's eyes and saw no mercy there, Buckminster Fuller just then was explaining omnidirectional halo to his seatmate on a TWA whisper jet in mid-Pacific. The wrathful visions, the cockroaches, and the Senate and the people of Rome all drove down Rothaus Platz in bizarre vehicles, while the ultraviolet hippopotamus and the thing on the doorstep both navigated Frederick Ebertstrasse in even more amazing buses. On April 25th, while Carmel looted Maldonado's safe and George Dorn repeated, "I am the robot," the trickle turned into a stream, and in came Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, the Glue Sniffers, King Kong and his Skull Island dinosaurs, the Howard Johnson hamburger, the riot in Cell Block 10, the House of Frankenstein, the signifying monkey, the damn thing, the orange moose, the indigo banana, and the pink elephant. On April 26th, the stream became a flood, and while Saul and Barney Muldoon tried to reason with Markov Chaney and he struggled in their grip, Ingolstadters found themselves inundated by Frodo Baggins and his ring, the mouse that roars, the crew of the flying saucer, the magnificent Ambersons, the house I live in, the sound of one hand, the territorial imperative, the druids of Stonehenge, the heads of Easter Island, the lost continent of Mu, Bugs Bunny and his 14 carrots, the gospel, according to Marx, the card-carrying members, the sands of Mars, the erection, the association, the amalgamation, the St. Valentine's Day massacre, the climax, the broad jumpers, the pubic hairs, the freaks, and the windows. Mick Jagger and his new group, the Trashers, arrived on April 27th, while the FBI was interviewing every whore in Las Vegas, and there quickly followed The Roofs, Moses and Monotheism, Steppenwolf, Civilization and its Discontents, Poor Richard and his Rosicrucian Secrets, The Wristwatch, The Nova Express, The Father of Waters, The Human Beings, The Washington Monument, The Thalidomide Babies, The Strangers in a Strange Land, Dr. John, the Night Tripper, Joan Baez, The Dead Man's Hand, Joker and the One-Eyed Jacks, Peyote Woman, The Heavenly Blues, The Golems, The Supreme Awakening, The Seven Types of Ambiguity, the Cold War, the Street Fighters, the Bank Burners, the Slaves of Satan, the Domino Theory, and Maxwell and his demons. On April 28th, while Dillinger loaded his gun and the Kachinas of Arabi began the drum beating, the Acapulco gold diggers arrived, followed by the Epic of Gilgamesh, the second law of thermodynamics, Dracula and his brides, the Iron Curtain, the noisy minority, the international debt, three contributions to the theory of sex, the cloud of unknowing, the birth of a nation, the zombies, Attila and his Huns, nihilism, the catatonics, the Thorndale jagoffs, the Haymarket bomb, the head of a dead cat, the shadow out of time, the sirens of Titan, the piano player, the streets of Laredo, the space odyssey, the blue moonies, the crabs, the dose, the grassy knoll, the latent image, the wheel of karma, the communion of saints, the city of God, general indefinite wobble, the left-handed monkey wrench, the thorn in the flesh, the rising podge, Shazam, the miniature sled, the 23rd appendix, the other cheek, the occidental ox, Ms. and the chairperson, Cohen, Cohen, Cohen and Con, and the joint phenomenon. On April 29th, while Danny Price Fixer listened raptly to Mama Sutra, the deluge descended upon Ingolstadt. Buses, trucks, station wagons, special trains, and every matter of transport except dog sleds brought in the wonders of the invisible world, Maul's curse, the Jesus head trip, Ahab and his amputation, the horseless headsman, the leaves of grass, the Gettysburg Address, the rosy-fingered dawn, the wine-dark sea, Nirvana, the net of jewels, Here Comes Everybody, the Pison Cantos, the snows of yesteryear, the pink dimension, the goose in the bottle, the Incredible Hulk, the third Bardo, aversion therapy, the irresistible force, MC squared, the enclosure acts, perpetual emotion, the 99-year lease, the immovable object, spaceship Earth, the radiocarbon method, the rebel yell, the clenched fist, the doomsday machine, the RAND scenario, the United States commitment, the Entwives, the Players of Null A, the Prelude to Space, Thunder and Roses, Armageddon, the Time Machine, the Mason Word, the Monkey Business, the Works, the Eight of Swords, Guerrilla Warfare, the Box Lunch, the Primate Kingdom, the New Aeon, the Enola Gay, the Octet Truss, the Stochastic Process, the Fluxions, the Burning House, the Phantom Captain, the Decline of the West, the Dualists, the Call of the Wild, Consciousness 3, the Reorganized Church of the Latter-day Saints, Standard Oil of Ohio, the Zigzag Men, the Rubble Risers, the Children of Ra, TNT, Acceptable Radiation, the Pollution Level, the Great Beast, the Horrors of Babylon, the Wasteland, the Ugly Truth, the Final Diagnosis, Solution Unsatisfactory, the Heat Death of the Universe, Mere Noise, Eye Opening, the Nine Unknown Men, the Horse of Another Color, the Falling Rock Zone, the Ascent of the Serpent, Ready, Willing, and Unable, the Civic Monster, Hercules and the Tortoise, the Middle Pillar, the Deleted Expletive, Deep Quote, Lucifer, the Dog Star, Nothing Serious, and Preparation H. But on April 23rd, while Joe Malik and Tobias Knight were setting the bomb in Confrontation's office, the Dalai Lama broadcast a telepathic message to Hagbar Chaleen saying,
"It's not too late to turn back."
And Joe hesitated a moment, blurting finally,
"Can we be sure? Can we be really sure?"
Tobias Knight raised weary eyes.
"We can't be sure of anything,"
he said simply.
"Chaleen has popped up at banquets and other social occasions where Drake was present 5 times now, and each conversation eventually got around to the puppet metaphor and Chaleen's favorite bit about the unconscious saboteur in everybody. What else can we assume?"
He set the timer for 2:30 a.m. and then met Joe's eyes again.
"I wish I could have given George a few more hints,"
Joe said lamely.
"You gave him too damn many hints as it is,"
Knight replied, closing the bomb casing. On April 1st, while God's Lightning paraded about UN Plaza and Captain Tequila Imoda was led before a firing squad, John Dillinger arose from his cramped lotus position and stopped broadcasting the mathematics of magic. He stretched, shook all over like a dog, and proceeded down the tunnel under the UN building to alligator control. OTO yoga was always a strain, and he was glad to abandon it and return to more mundane matters. A guard stopped him at the AC door, and John handed over his plastic eye and pyramid card. The guard, a surly-looking woman, whose picture John had seen in the newspapers as a leader of the radical lesbians, fed the card into a wall slot. It came out again, almost at once, and a green light flashed.
"Pass," she said. "Heute die Welt."
"Morgens das Sonnensystem,"
John replied. He entered the beige plastic underworld of alligator control and walked through geodesic corridors until he came to the door marked Monotony Monitor. After he inserted his card in the appropriate slot, another green light blinked and the door opened. Taffy Rheingold, wearing a miniskirt and still pert and attractive despite her years and gray hair, looked up from her typing. She sat behind a beige plastic desk that matched the beige plastic of the entire Alligator Control headquarters. A broad smile spread across her face when she recognized him.
"John,"
she said happily.
"What brings you here?"
"Gotta see a boss," he answered. "But before you buzz him, do you know you're in another book?"
"The new Edison Yerby novel?"
She shrugged philosophically.
"Not quite as bad as what Atlanta Hope did to me and Telemachus sneezed."
"Yeah, I suppose. But how did this guy find out so much? Some of those scenes are absolutely true. Is he in the Order?"
John demanded.
"A mind leak,"
Taffy said.
"You know how it is with writers. One of the Illuminati Magi scanned Yerby, and he thought he had invented all of it. Not a clue. The same kind of leak we had when Condon wrote The Manchurian Candidate."
She shrugged.
"It just happens sometimes."
"I suppose,"
John said absently.
"Well, tell your boss I'm here."
In a minute, he was in the inner office, being effusively greeted by the old man in the wheelchair.
John, it's so good to see you again,"
said the crooning voice that had hypnotized millions. Otherwise, it was hard in this aged figure to recognize the once handsome and dynamic Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
"How did you get stuck with a job like this?"
Dillinger asked finally, after the amenities had been exchanged.
"You know how it is with the new gang in Agharti,"
Roosevelt murmured.
New blood, that's their battle cry. All of us old and faithful servants are being pushed into minor bureaucratic positions."
"I remember your funeral,"
John said wistfully.
"I was envious, thinking of you going to Agharti and working directly with the Five. And now it's come to this. Monotony Monitor in Alligator Control. Sometimes I get pissed with the Order."
"Careful,"
Roosevelt said.
"They might be scanning. And a double agent such as you are, John, is always under special surveillance. Besides, this isn't really so bad, considering how they reacted in Agharti when the Pearl Harbor revelations started coming out in the late 40s. I did not handle that matter too elegantly, you know, and they had a right to demote me. And alligator control is interesting."
"Maybe,"
John said dubiously.
"I never have understood this project."
"It's very significant work,"
Roosevelt said, seriously.
"New York and Chicago are our major experiments in testing the Mehume tolerance level. In Chicago, we concentrate on mere ugliness and brutality. But in New York, we're simultaneously carrying on a long-range boredom study. That's where alligator control comes in. We've got to keep the alligators in the sewers down to a minimum, so the Bureau of Sanitation doesn't reactivate their own alligator control project, which would be an opportunity for adventure and a certain natural Mehume hunting band mystique among some of the young males. It's the same reason we took out the trolley cars. Riding them was more fun than buses. Believe me, monotony monitoring is a very important part of the New York project."
"I've seen the mental health figures,"
John said, nodding.
About 70% of the people in the most congested part of Manhattan are already pre-psychotic.
We'll have it up to 80% by 1980,
Roosevelt cried, with some of his old steely-eyed determination. But then he fixed a joint in his ivory holder and, clenching it at his famous jaunty angle, added,
And we're immune, thanks to Sabah's elixir,
he quoted cheerfully.
Grass does more than Milltown can to justify God's ways to man. But what does bring you here, John?
A small job,
Dillinger said.
There's a man in my organization named Malik who's getting a little too close to the secret of the whole game. I need some help here in New York to set him off on a snark hunt until after May 1st. I'd like to know who you've got in your staff closest to him.
Malik,
Roosevelt said thoughtfully.
That would be the Malik of Confrontation magazine?
John nodded, and Roosevelt sat back in his wheelchair, smiling.
Oh, this is a lead pipe cinch. We've got an agent in his office.
But neither of them realized that 10 days later, a dolphin swimming through the ruins of Atlantis would discover that no dragon star had ever fallen. Nor could they have guessed how Hagbard Chalene would reevaluate Illuminati history when that revelation was reported to him, and they had no clue of the decision he would then make, which would change everybody's conspiracies shockingly and unexpectedly.